So I'm just going to kind of keep going with what Des started last night. Sometimes I find that's the best when the Lord begins a flow that we just jump in that flow and kind of go with it. So we started out last night talking about a foundation. And Paul did say that there is no foundation that any man can lay other than that which has already been laid. And that foundation was Jesus Christ. Why do we make such a big deal out of Jesus Christ? Because we can find no other in recorded history that has ever accomplished what this man accomplished. And as the scriptures say, that he was the fullness of all that God is in a man. Embodied in a man. There is not one other that I know of that I would want to fully give my allegiance to other than Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we must realize that everything that he is, everything that he was constituted with, all of the loveliness and the compassion and all of the power, all of the authority, all of the workings. And I don't know about you, but my goal for years has been to walk as that man walked. And I don't know how to do it any other way than to learn how to love. That's the only way I know. And we can't really love until we have that foundation built within us. Well, what is that foundation? As far as we know, Peter was the first one to discover in the New Testament what that foundation was. When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Well, what is that rock? And then, you know, the Catholics say the rock was Peter, that God was going to build the church on the, it became what became the Roman hierarchy. But really what Jesus said, he said that I will build my church on this revelation of Christ in a man. That's what the foundation has to be built on, is the revelation of Christ in man. And it's not just a man. This man is a corporate man. This man is the Son of God who was birthed in the beginning. It's a corporate man. It never has been an individual. And so the foundation that has to be laid within us is a revelation of Christ in this man, in this temple, in this habitation. And until we have an unveiling by the Spirit and can see that just as Jesus was and is, we also are a habitation, a dwelling place. Everything that God is, all of His essence, all of His being is who we are. Because we were that Son created in the beginning. Those are wonderful words, aren't they? They really are. But I knew that for a long time. And I was like the priest that was lame. You remember in the Old Testament, a priest couldn't be lame. What does that mean? Well, you know everything, but you can't walk in it. You're lame. Well, I was a lame priest for a long time. I knew so much. I had notebooks full of everything I had figured out. But I was lame. Couldn't walk. I couldn't love like I knew that I should love. If somebody was mean to me, I mean, it's a natural thing. My reaction was one of retribution or anger or bitterness or, you know, unforgiveness. What good does it do us to know all of these things and yet be lame? We have so much lameness among us. Right now, out here in this Christian world, in the metaphysical world, in the New Age world, in the kingdom world, you can gain all the knowledge that you want. and you will be most miserable because you can't walk in. You see, knowledge doesn't give you the ability to walk in the kingdom of God. Knowledge is where we begin. We must know. In fact, Peter says it's through the knowledge of Him. But you know, that knowledge is not just an intellectual knowledge. It's an intimate unveiling. To really know God, you have to be unveiled to the reality of His presence within you. Then you begin to know Him as He is. So that's the foundation that we must have laid in each of us. The foundation of the revelation of Christ in a man. And that man is literally humanity. And so when you realize that, then, you do not look at humanity through eyes of the carnality, through the carnal eyes. Well, when you look at man through carnal eyes, then you see the carnal man. But when you realize that the substance and the being of every man is Christ, then you can do as the Apostle Paul said, that we, from henceforth, we do not know any man after the flesh. Because we know they're not fleshy men. We know that they are spiritual men. See, they may not be acting like it. They may not be living like it. But that's why we're able to minister and change lives, is because we know who they are. See? Amen. And I love what Des said. I heard Des say this. I know I've used it a few times. But what you are doing cannot possibly change who you are. You see, you may be doing a lot of things that are wrong. You may have a lot of wrong concepts. You may be living a life of what some people call sin. But it does not change who you are. You see? And when we begin to know each other as we are and not by what we're doing, you see, when you look at people through the natural eyes, you look at them as what they are doing. In other words, you might be a prostitute or a homosexual or a lesbian or a thief or a drunkard. That's to know men according to the flesh. But when you have the revelation and can look beyond the flesh, you know what they're doing does not change who they are. So you don't minister to them as drunkards and prostitutes and all of that junk. You minister to them and you're able to love them beyond where they are and what they're doing. You see? That's how you build the foundation. By the revelation of Christ in a man. And again, we know that that substance, that being of God, is in every man, and that's what we minister to change their lives. And you know, that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when he talked about building on the foundation, he said, if any man builds, let him build with gold, silver, and precious stones, but not wood, hay, and stubble. I'll tell you, the whole church world out here, for the most part, is built with wood, hay, and stubble. You know what the foundations of the church is? I'm talking about the system of Christianity, not the church. But that system is built on wood, hay, and stubble. You know what the foundation of the system is? Is right doctrine. That's what they're built on, is doctrine. And that's why we have all the division. And you know, when Abraham was spoken to by God, he said, your descendants will be as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea. And you can build your house either on the rock or on the sand. And the sand is man's carnal reasoning. The sand is man's carnal mind. And you cannot tell me that the system of Christianity is built upon the rock. It's built upon the sand. The sand of having the right information, the doctrine of being right, and that's what the whole thing is built on. So it's sand. So when the wind comes, it'll just blow it all away. But to build upon the rock, again, is to build upon the revelation of Christ in a man. And Paul says when you do that, there's only three building tools that you can use to build on that foundation. That foundation of Christ in a man. And the first is gold. If you're building the temple of God, if you want to encourage and lift up and build the saints of God and build upon that foundation of Christ, you can only do it with three substances. And the first one is gold. Gold always represents divine nature. You see, when you stand up and teach Bible doctrine, you're just teaching sand. You're teaching carnal reasoning. That's all you're doing. Whenever you teach doctrine, and you see, doctrine has been really placed above anything else in the church world. You've got to have the right doctrine. And you have to have the right information. And you have to see it the way I do, or perhaps you're going to miss something of God. In fact, you might end up in a place of torment throughout all eternity. I don't care how good your doctrine is. You see, God has spoken things to me that there's no one in the universe could convince me that what I know is wrong. But if He hasn't spoken that to you, I have no right to tell you that you're wrong and I'm right. Because God will speak to you in the way that you can understand Him. And I'm telling you, if you're living in India, or you're living in Pakistan, or you're raised in a Muslim religion, and you're hungry for God, He will speak to you in the language that you understand. He will. And once you begin to listen to Him, then you will be led by the Spirit, and you will be brought right in to a relationship with God, just like everyone else has that has begun to listen to God from his heart and not from his head. Because see, Abraham's inheritors of the sand, again, is the natural man, the carnal man. That's the sand of the seashore. But the descendants that are from the stars, that's the spiritual man. So we must build with the spiritual man, and when we build, we must use gold. So, and you know what? I wish everybody would really, really hear this. Because we have so much garbage. And when you begin to speak, if you do not know that you're speaking from the divine nature, if all you have is right information and scriptural interpretation by the natural, you shouldn't even be speaking. The scriptures themselves say, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And when you speak, if you cannot say, this is God speaking, then you need to shut up. Sounds pretty hard, doesn't it? But if we would do that. At one time, I was taken from a position of being a senior pastor. Carol and I raised up one of the most beautiful churches that we've ever been in. Anointed. People would walk on our property and they'd begin to weep with the presence of God. People would drive for miles to be in our worship. People would come in among us and they would just be overwhelmed with the presence of God. I was yanked from a place like that back to another church, put upstairs in the tape room, making tapes, never preaching, never doing anything, and it did not change me one iota. It didn't change my peace. It didn't change my contentment. It didn't change my happiness. Why? Because I had the substance of God within me. And I know who directs my life. I know my steps are ordered of the Lord. So whether I'm making tapes up in the upstairs of a back room, or I'm standing before multitudes, it makes no difference. And you know, I went to God that all of us would experience the substance of God within them in such a way that it would make no difference to you what you do. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be happy in any situation? Wouldn't it? I've laid in a hospital bed not knowing if I was going to live or die. and be joking with the nurses and be happy. It makes no difference. In fact, I mentioned we've been listening to Heidi Baker, and she said that, you know, she works among the Muslims, and she said she's been shot at. They've shot at her with machine guns. She's had knives to her throat. They've thrown her into prison. She's been beat up. And she said, you know, I wish they wouldn't miss. I've been to heaven. I've been in the very heartthrob in the throne room of God. So whether I live or whether I die, what difference does it make? The only difference it makes is the substance of His life that can be reproduced in me, in this physical being. That's the only reason for living. Whether I live or whether I die, what does it matter if I know who I am? And I know that I have the substance of all that He is within me. So when we minister with the gold, with the divine life. We know that when we stand, that God is going to speak. You know, most people have no idea how difficult it is for me to do this. I say over and over and over again, I don't want to do this. I was born one of the most introverted persons that you'd ever meet in your life. I would hide in a crowd. Yet I know the substance that God has raised up. And the testimonies that come from all over the world of the lives that are being changed. So what can we do? Let's say, God, whatever it is. I don't care whatever you want, that's what I'll do. So we minister, first of all, with gold, with the divine life. God gives us such a revelation of the reality of walking in His kingdom that we don't get upset when people revile us. There is nothing within us that has resentment or bitterness when people comes against us. The only thing within us is a cry from our heart that God would forgive and God would uplift and God would open the eyes of the blind. Because the only reason they would oppose you is like Jesus said from the cross, Father, they just don't know what they're doing. And if they're in blindness and ignorance, how can we hold them accountable? Because we're still living out of the human consciousness. I can imagine that about 90% of the Christians today, if we caught Osama bin Laden, would want to kill him. You know what I'd want to do? I'd want to hug him. I'd want to put my arms around him. I'd want to tell him the wonderful substance that he has within him. And I would intercede and I'd pray that God would awaken that spirit within him. That's the only thing that changed the Apostle Paul. He was an Osama bin Laden before God revealed His Son in him. And here we are as Christians, supposedly full of the love and substance of God, and we're praying for God to protect us while we're out killing our enemies. It is so sad. So we build with gold. The second thing we build with is silver. Well, you all know silver means redemption. And redemption is so far surpasses what we've been taught in the system of Christianity. You see, we know the scriptures teach that when he died for all. Not just for those who went to an altar. People talk about all the time, oh, if you don't receive Jesus, you're going to go to hell. Well, I got news for you. He has already received you. He has already gathered you in His arms. He's already poured out everything of its life substance so that you can be received into His kingdom. And all you have to do is to have someone help you, minister to you, and to get you into fellowship with your Father. And then you too will know the source of all life. So we minister the silver. The church world ministers condemnation and guilt and shame. I said last night, We shouldn't be blowing up abortion clinics. We should be loving the doctors. We should be going to them in whatever way the Lord might lead us to show them that they are loved. That's what Jesus would do. He said, I know you guys, you still have an Old Testament concept of God. You still think that God kills his enemies. But you won't listen to me, Jesus said. You'll read the scriptures, you'll search the scriptures, and especially you'll pick up those old concepts from the Old Testament that shows an angry, vengeful, wrathful God, and then you feel justified in being evil to your enemies. Jesus said in his day, that is not my Father. You guys still think that God is an angry, tribunal, sadistic one who tortures and kills and does ethnic cleansing. But I say unto you, you love your enemies. Do good to them who despitefully use you. Are you saying Bible, or God, are you saying, brother, the Bible isn't true? I'm saying there's some mighty great errors and misunderstandings. I think those Old Testament prophets did what they thought God told them to do. But I'll tell you what, if you think God kills his enemies, if you think God is the author of sickness and disease, if you think God is one who punishes you, and you don't know God. It's that simple. You may love him. You say, how can I love him and not know him? Oh, that's very easy. To love God and not know him. David loved God. Man after God's own heart. Yet David did not know the heart of God. Because he prayed all the time for God to kill his enemies. Crush them who come up against me. And I say all the time, until you have a proper understanding of God, you too will still think it's justified to kill your enemies or slander them or come up against them. Jesus died for his enemies. He let his enemies nail him to a cross, put thorns on his head, nail his hands and feet, and then said, Father, forgive them. But we want to see Osama bin Laden. How can we be any different? We say the Muslims are such bad people. No, they're not. The Muslims, the Hindus, I've traveled a lot. And I can tell you, people are the same everywhere. They're just like you. They're not bad people. What corrupts the world is ungodly leadership. And then they convince you. Well, I've said enough about that. All I say is that God doesn't kill his enemies. Yeah, he doesn't have any enemies, for sure. So we build on the silver, on redemption. Everyone has been redeemed. They don't have to even ask for it. They've just been redeemed. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not holding them accountable. It's so plain. If God isn't holding you accountable, why would he throw you into some fiery furnace? And once we ourselves begin to understand this unconditional love of God, we will literally change the world. Because there's nothing in us that wants retribution. There's nothing in us that wants to see people suffer. There's nothing in us that wants to get even or wants to see people, you know. It's a righteous judgment that we have. The anger that God has, what we call a righteous anger, is a passion. A passion to make right that which is wrong. That's God's judgment. He has a passion, a longing, a compassion to make everything in you that's wrong to make it right. And that's what the fire is for. Yet the religionist has turned the fire into something to be feared, that it's a punishment maybe for all eternity, when the fire is your friend. Even the English word fire comes from the word P-U-R, meaning purified. If you can understand, if you can have the revelation that the only thing God is love, He's nothing else. There's no retribution in Him. There's no thought of punishment. You know, if He wanted to punish you for your so-called sins, why the cross? And why would He say God was in Christ reconciling the world, not holding them accountable for their sin, if He was still going to punish you for it? And once you understand that there is no punishment in God, I've been saying recently, God will only do two things for you. Only two. He will love you and He will bless you. And the fire will purify you. It's not a free, get off the hook, do anything you want to do gospel, because you will pay dearly for disobedience. Dearly you'll pay for disobedience. But well, because God's angry? No, He just wants to purify you. So it might get a little hot for you for a while. You might find yourself in some circumstances that you'd rather not be in. People get cancer, for instance, and they think, well, gee, God must be punishing me. God must be giving me a cancer to tell me something. God gets blamed for everything. Well, God, isn't God in control? Isn't God sovereign? Doesn't God? We've been told so much that is such a mixture and such an untruth. I tell people, if you really believe that God gave you a cancer to teach you something, then why are you going to a doctor? Why don't you just die with it and learn the lesson, and you won't have to learn it anymore? People say, well, if God is loving and unconditional love, why are there starving in the world? Why are the children in India and in Africa and Mozambique, you know, why is all this suffering if God is all loving? Why? Because you won't do anything about it. Man is responsible for all of the ills of the world, not God. We have enough resources in this world for everyone to live a wonderful, free, happy, fulfilled life. The resources are all here. There's resources enough that there should never be anyone go hungry at any time. And then we blame God. People say, well, why should I worship God? He lets people starve to death. No, He doesn't. You do. I heard a guy the other day on tape that he said he was visiting Mozambique, and was this lady that she couldn't pay her rent because her husband had run off or something, and she couldn't pay her rent. And so he asked whoever was in charge, well, what would it take to pay her rent for a month? And it was some ridiculous figure, like just a few dollars. And so he paid her rent. And then he said, what else does this lady need? Well, she hasn't seen her family in years, because she can't afford to travel across country to see her family. Well, how much does it cost? $12. $12 American. So he said, I pulled $60 out of my wallet and I gave it to this lady. And he said, the person with her said, oh, brother, do you realize you have just given her 6 months of living allowance for $60? Couple of us just spent $8 on coffee this morning. And then we blame God for the suffering of the world. Tell you what, we're a sad lot. Why is that? Because we've not yet learned to live outside the carnal realm. We don't get up in the morning and say, God, what can I do today? What can I do to relieve the suffering? What could I do? God, why don't I have this loving, compassionate spirit? God, where is it? I prayed that for years. Where is this living water? Where is that water you promised that if I drank, that it would be in me a living well of water springing up to eternal life? I used to cry and I'd say, where is it? So I had to pray for God to make me desperate. I wasn't even desperate. So whatever you need, all you have to do is ask. You're not hungry for God. You don't have the time for God. Or you won't take the time for God. Whatever you need. That's why John told the little children, he said, you have not because you ask not. And then once you begin to get those things that you so desperately need, a hunger for God, perhaps you don't have it. Or perhaps you don't have the diligence to spend some time with God every day. Lord, I used to pray, Lord, make me willing. Make me willing. Do whatever it takes. Because I can't stand living, knowing, loving you like I do, yet not being able to walk in the kingdom of God. And then we build with precious stones. Well, what is that? Precious stones represents the transformation of the inner man. So when you stand up to minister, first of all, it has to be out of the divine nature. It can't be out of this doctrinal stuff. Doctrines don't really count in the kingdom. You think God really worries about doctrine in the kingdom? And I understand about sound doctrine, but we don't even know what it is. Sound doctrine is what I'm giving you this morning. That's sound doctrine. As far as all the other stuff goes, who, where, what, how, and when, drop all of that stuff out of your life. You don't need to know. Precious stones is the transformation of the inner man. You minister only that which God has has made real to you in your life. You see, if you have the substance, if there's some transformation that's taken place in your life, you don't have to minister doctrine. Because you have substance. The substance will transform. And people get mad at me all the time. I tell you, it doesn't matter what you believe. It really, you know, what you believe will affect your life. It really will. But what you believe, you can believe what you want to. I'm going to love you anyway. It doesn't affect me. And I have no business trying to change what you believe. Even if I think it's wrong. My only obligation is to love you and to share with you. And perhaps I would share with you my views. But never would I insist on you taking my way. Because the only reason I walk the road that I walk is because it's the revelation that God has given to me. So how can I expect you to walk the same walk that I do? So we need to help one another. We need to minister to one another. We need to build one another up and don't touch all that doctrinal stuff. God is able to sort that all out. I really like, and see, the Christians don't like this, but I really like this saying that there are many paths to God. Why do I like it? Because that's what God told me. There are many paths. There's only one way to God, but there's many paths. And you may climb up this path or that path. We're all climbing the mountain, but when you get to the top of the mountain, you're going to discover Jesus Christ as the answer. No matter what path you take, you take any path that you want. If you're searching for truth, you'll discover eventually that Jesus is on the top of that mountain. And what you've been searching for all of your life is the reality of His essence within you. What all of us have searched for all of our life is to be the reality of what He said. Let me read something to you here in the Amplified.
I read this all the time because I love it.
Ephesians 1:23 in the Amplified. And He has put all things under His feet and has appointed him, Jesus, to be the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body. Listen to this. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. And you argue about doctrine. You see, love washes all of that stuff out of you. You just don't care. You just love. You see, and when you love people, what you are affects them. And they may not even know it. You don't have to tell them, well, you know, my Bible is the Bible and your Bible is just not quite right. You don't have to tell them that. I could take a Muslim Bible and preach from it. I could take the Book of Mormon and preach from it. But in the preaching from it, there will be the substance of his life that will get into you. And you'll come out of your Muslim faith. And you'll come out of your Christian denomination. You'll come out of your Christian ideas. And we'll all rise up together to be the one new man on this earth. And as the one new man is rising within his people, all the nations of the earth shall flow unto Mount Zion. You don't have to go out and look for people. It's not necessary for you to go anywhere and do anything. When you have the substance of his life, you can't keep people away from you. They will run to you and flock to you to hear the substance. To be in your presence where they know there's no guilt or no condemnation. If you're a prostitute, you can come to me and you can sit with me and you can sit at my table and I won't condemn you. I won't tell you you can't live that way. I'll just love you. And reveal to you the truth of your being. And as the truth of your being is unveiled within you, the Christ will begin to ascend in his temple. And whatever change needs to take place in your life will take place. Minister with gold, divine life. Silver, the redemption of all men. And transformation, that which God has made real in your life. David said many years ago, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And I speak only those things that I've made touching the king. That's what changes lives. Your church doctrine, your Bible doctrine, just causes division and debate.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.
True identity. I'm removed.